I am Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
He claimed that he had taken magic mushrooms 1,000 times. There, I'm going to paint the picture. Okay, I'm going to paint the picture. I'm sitting at a table in Costa Mesa at the SoCal Veg Fest. I'm not minding my own business because I'm talking to thousands of people, maybe 1,000. I mean, I'm not even kidding. There was a lot of people there. And I hadn't done my talk yet. I was sitting at the Stanford Inn table, as I do. Talk the second day, if you must know. You asked. Anyway, so this guy comes up and he's talking to me about, I don't even know, whatever, the spiel. And he gets into drugs. And he started talking about magic mushrooms. And he said he's done them like 1,000 times. Have you ever done them? I said, no, I've never done them. I've been curious. I'm not probably past my day that I will ever try that. But there was a time when I was curious about that. Anyway, he claimed, oh, man. You gotta do it. It really opens you up. And then he said that taking magic mushrooms, you really get to see all the parts of you that need to get fixed, like the stuff, and you really get to look at yourself in a way that it becomes clear all the stuff that you know can be fixed in you. And I thought to myself, that sounds like the opposite of what I would ever take drugs for. My goal in taking drugs is never to know and to see more clearly than I already see all the things that need to be fixed. That seems like the reason to not do drugs if that's drugs. If that's what drugs do, why do people get addicted to drugs? Boy, you know what I like doing on Saturday night? I like finding out all the stuff about me that needs to be fixed. Now I'm going to do that 1,000 times. I want to see 1,000 times clearly what needs to be fixed in me. It would seem to me that drugs would be maybe something that you would do to distract yourself from the stuff in you that needs to be fixed. I'm just saying, I'm not an expert in drugs, but that would lead me to, it's not interesting. That wasn't a sell. I wasn't like, yeah, God, that sounds fantastic. Please, please, can I find out all the things that are wrong with me? I'm dying to know. Yeah. Speaking of high, by the way, I'm still high from my drive home from the inn. Where I usually take magic mushrooms just like right when I leave the Stanford Inn and then home. I've done it 1,000 times. No, I'm high from listening to The Trapeze Swinger by Iron and Wine. You heard it? Have you heard it? You haven't heard it? You have not heard it. Really? Trapeze Swinger, Iron and Wine. You're welcome. Go look that up and tell me that that's not a fantastic. It's an 11-minute song, so buckle in. But it'll get you high. Like it get me. I got floated out of my car like, hey, man. But in a good way. So that was Costa Mesa. I was, I just got back yesterday. Flew down Friday, flew back Monday. Did a talk, sat on a panel. Sat on a family, healthy kids panel with a little girl, cute girl who speaks. She's like 11 and her mom. That was all fine. Good time. Then there was a woman there who was an authority, doesn't have kids. It's just a weird thing for me. I'm like, she's like, here's how you communicate with kids. I'm like, here's how I communicate with kids because I have them, but you don't. So why are you the authority on? Okay, look, I'm not pulling. I told you I'm not pulling punches. I'm just saying, if you have a panel on healthy families and communicating to kids, have it on there with people who have experience day to day coming home from work exhausted and fatigued and tired. And communicate with kids in that context, not from afar, not even from Jamie Farr. That's how strongly I feel about that subject. I did a mean thing in Costa Mesa. Okay, I'm just gonna put it right out there right now. I did a mean thing. This woman came up to the desk, to the table, had no interest in the Stanford Inn, had no interest in me, missed nothing. She wanted to know what was free. Is that free? No, the books are not free. Is that free? She pointed to one of my WWID bracelets. I said, yeah, I usually hang on to them because when I give a talk, if somebody asks a question, I throw them a bracelet. It's like a thing I do. I said, yeah, here, have a bracelet. But all she wanted was free stuff. She's not interested. So what I could have done is said, it's a WWID bracelet. See, it's instead of what would somebody else do, it's what would I do. It's about my practice. And I just gave her the bracelet. With a little bit of about a 9.5-year-old's pleasure in my brain of her, maybe still to this day, now it's been 3 days, 2 days later, looking at the bracelet, trying to figure what the hell WWID means. And I get a certain amount of pleasure from that. Does it make me a little bit petty? It makes me a little bit petty. You know what I want to do? I want to take more magic mushrooms so I can find out exactly how petty I am. If anybody has a lead on that, lay it down. Thanks to the Patreoning people who are supporting me on Patreon and leaving reviews on iTunes. Okay, thanks. You know me. I'm thankful that way. So, good talk. I got some people out there. You know, I'm getting people. There's not a brag. I have busted my ass for the last almost five years. Well, the first year after my first book came out, I couldn't get a speaking thing to save my life. I just thought, I have a book out. Like, why wouldn't I? Who wouldn't want to? And I'd call the Veg Fest and they'd be like, yeah, not. So that was the first year, nothing. Then the second year I start getting talks, but then it's not, you know, not a lot of people and kind of breaking into it. And then the second year starts to build. And it's built ever since. It's bigger. So there was a girl sitting next to me at the table next to me, and she said, I'll come see you talk. And I said, sure. And then after the talk, she's like, you had like a packed house. I go, yeah, I said, I've been doing this a while. Like, I'm busting my ass. It's a job that I take very seriously and enjoy, by the way. But it's not like I just roll the dice and go, well, whatever I talk about, it's got to be. That's this podcast. This podcast is whatever I talk about with no planning at all. But anyway, so that was Costa Mesa. Good event. Great. I'm tired. There are quick turns around. I'm editing a video tonight, actually, kind of on this thing. There's a large part of me, I don't want to put a percentage to it, I'll say 62.5%, that doesn't really want to go anywhere without my family anymore. Like, there's a certain novelty of traveling around speaking, and I love it, but then I miss my family too. But the other 38%, did you see how quickly I did the math? Totally wants to go. So it's not like I really just want to stay home. I love these things. I love talking in front of groups. I really do. I love it. But I'm so happy to get home. Like, I'm so happy to get home and tired, you know, and then get up this morning and, you know, back to this swing of things. The good news about this time was I got back last night, this morning, came to the inn, and I had a class to teach. And again, like, finished speaking in front of a group, and then I get to swing right on into a class, which I love. That's the best part of my job, is the teaching and the wellness part of it. I also help manage the kitchen. That's the least favorite part of my job. If I could never discuss anything about the restaurant or talk to anybody who ever works in a restaurant ever again, I would be a happier person for it. But it's, you know, it's what it is. I got responsibility and stuff. I'm drinking water. I shut the food thing down at 7, you know, the intermittent fasting thing. I was tempted to bourbon up. I have a bourbon, but I'm not feeling it right now. What am I gonna say? I'm not feeling it. Anyway, and so I'm teaching this class, and the two guests that were there, so good. They're the ones that make me feel guilty for having that good of a job. That's what that is, right? They were fun and conflicted and funny and passionate and real, like human, for crying out loud. Like, that's what I think. If we can get over ourselves and kind of push the shit away a little bit, all of a sudden we emerge as fun and conflicted and funny and passionate and real underneath all the crap, right? That's was them. And so we had this really good back and forth. But they told me a story. So I'll back up a little bit. At the Costa Mesa event, Joel Fuhrman, who you guys know, probably because he's very famous. I may or may not have pissed him off. And here's why. Because I did a talk, he followed me. And in a sense, I opened up for Joel Fuhrman. But not really, because there's not like a headline. Well, he's a headliner. There's no doubt about that. Okay, so anyway, I'm doing my talk. And in my talk, it's a philosophy. You guys know what I talk about. It's philosophy, and it's thinking about food and just backing out. And my argument is that eating this the way that I was talking about, plant-based, is not about the food. It's a ethical decision to take care of ourselves. It's how we express that action in the world that makes it, we express it in food, but it's the decision, you know, all that crap. Okay, it's all this normal stuff. Anyway, I said, you know, behind, and I'll get into a little bit more, but the point was, is, you know, I said, if you go to your 15th lecture on heart disease and studies showing how great the plant-based diet is for heart disease, that's all fine and good, but that's not really where it's at. And I said, this is, in my opinion, what I'm talking about is the most important thing because it's behind everything else. I'll get into that in a minute. But then he got on stage and talked about heart disease. Whoops. Uh-oh. I know, right? I also kind of had a dig at doctors. Look, because this woman raised her hand and she's like, this dog was, you know, pregnant, and this doctor told me you cannot be plant-based and be pregnant. You have to eat meat. And she said, do you have studies showing that you can be? I said, why am I providing studies? Your doctor is the one that is making that ridiculous claim. Have he or she provide you with the studies. If I'm going to go out and go, guys, guess what? The moon is made out of graphite and popsicles and cotton balls. You don't have to show me a study showing that's not true. You should say, Sid, prove that the moon is made of the three things that I don't even personally remember because I just said them and I made them up. Something to do with cotton balls and maybe cotton candy. But the burden is on me if I'm going to make the claim. Don't I have to support my own claim? That's not how it is now. That's not how it is. It's people say crazy shit and then we're the ones that have to go to all this work to disprove them. It's like, no, if you are fostering conspiracy theory, then you provide the proof. If you say this crazy thing that none of us believes, okay, fine, maybe you're right. Prove that you're right. The onus is not on me to prove you wrong. The onus is on you to prove you right. Just give me what you got. Otherwise, you're just spewing crap. I don't want to hear that. If a doctor tells you you can't be pregnant and be plant-based, he or she should provide you the studies supporting their case. It's not up to you to do all the legwork. They're doing the legwork. They should do the legwork. They're not, but they should. They should do the legwork. Got it? That's not what I wanted to talk about in this episode. You guys know that, right? Once again, you get me riled up and then I get angry and then I can't sleep. Your fault. I'm not taking accountability. I'm not taking responsibility for my own actions. That would be crazy. That's not how we roll in today's world. We don't take a responsibility for our own actions. That's insane. Anyhow, so I may have pissed him off. On a related note, the guests that I was teaching today were told me this story, but they went to this immersion with like this guru type person. I'm not going to mention any names. One of these big wigs in the biz, right? The big wigs, MD kind of thing. And they have these retreats. Look, I'd be driving a car much nicer than my Ford Focus that's about to push 100,000 and still going strong. My window doesn't work. But other than that, I feel like a king in it. So this retreat thing, and so they went, and it's an immersion, and they went into this immersion, and this is not a joke. I wish it were a joke, but it's not a joke. It was at a hotel, and the person in charge, the bigwig, had the hotel remove all the coffee makers out of the rooms for the guests that were part of his immersion. Removed the coffee makers. Now, if this is your first time listening to this podcast, you don't even know the context of how nutty nut that gnat is, and that could be one of the worst things ever done in history to anybody. And there's been some pretty bad things done to people. It's really not so much it's the bad thing. It's just insane. It's insane. It's insane. And what I told them, I said, here's what you learn from an immersion like that, that you need immersions like that to that you keep having to go back to immersions like that. Here's my 2 cents on that. Ready? Immerse yourself greater in your own life. Don't go to an immersion. Immerse yourself in your life. That is the ticket. That is what is going to provide you the tools to make the changes that you want to become the person that you already freaking are, and you're just learning how to do that better. You don't do that by kicking the can down the road and going to some stupid immersion where you can't even have a cup of freaking Keurig, which is not the best coffee, but it's better than nothing. You can't have it because somebody took it out of your room. That's crazy. If I ever do, listen, here's my word on this, okay? And if I get enough Patreon followers, I'll just get this done. I'll do a retreat. I'll do an immersion, okay? I will do it. Fine. I'm going to sell out. I'll do an immersion. But in everybody's rooms, extra coffee. I'm going to put 3 coffee machines in everybody's room and French fries. So everybody will check in to an immersion and they'll go, I didn't realize it was this kind of immersion. When Sid, the nutritionist, said he was having an immersion, a 3-day immersion, I assumed it was going to be healthy. And I'm going to step forward and say, I didn't say what kind of immersion. I just said, you're going to get immersed is what I said. I didn't say how, but you're immersed now. You're in deep. You're in deep in coffee and you're in deep in French fries. You're going to come back a changed person. That's for sure. Just not for the better. Mm. Yeah, I get a little frustrated. I get a little frustrated because it's what they're doing is they're in under the guise of helping you create healthy habits. That's not what's happening. What they're doing is helping you create the habit of overthinking about food. That is its own habit. You know that, right? It's its own habit. How you think about food, how you measure, count, and weigh, how you become over-obsessed, how you become super hyper-attentive about food becomes its own habit that supersedes, in my opinion, the habit of eating healthy, because it's like the greater habit, and it's not the habit. When you get a habit of eating healthy and you're just in the habit of eating healthy, by definition, to me, it becomes like the habit of brushing your teeth, which is you don't think about it anymore. When it's actually a habit, you don't think about it anymore. That's the beauty of it being a habit. You're just like, yeah, I've been brushing my teeth for years. I don't really think about it. I mean, 2 cents. I'm like, I when I pack my bag, the toothbrush goes in. I'm trying to instill that in my kids, instilling the healthy habit of brushing their teeth every day. I'm also trying to instill in them the habit of eating well, not of thinking about eating well, not of thinking about food, not of overthinking about food, but of eating healthy food so that they don't, it's so regular and a habit that they don't have to think about it. Beware that there is actually a difference between the habit of overthinking and thinking about food in any level and actually eating healthy food or whatever. Got it? Yes? You understand? You understand? Good. If you don't understand, do me a favor, pull over, because I know you're in your car right now. Pull over, put in park. I don't care if you're on a freeway. Look, so you're not breaking the law. Just pretend that you have to vomit. That's what I do. And just stop, put it in park, and just go, yeah, I get it, Sid. I get it. And then pull back on, but watch out. Watch your blind spot. Watch your blind spot, man. You know who doesn't watch their blind spot? That guy who's done 1,000 times magic mushrooms. He doesn't have a blind spot. He's so clear about all the things he needs to fix. He's not fixing them. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that he's fixing them. I'm saying that he knows the things that he needs to fix. That's very different. Maybe that's the point. You just do drugs so much that you're just clear about all the things you need to fix, but because you're doing so many drugs, you'd never fix them. And there's a certain je ne sais quoi about that. I don't know what that means. French fries? Does that mean French fries? The title of this episode, and I'll wrap this up, because that's what I do now. I wrap it up. I just wrap it up. What do you do, Sid? I wrap it up. I have had this experience before at veg fests. I've had this experience before in my talks. I've had this experience before in running my smallsteppers.com program. And that is that I'm always cognizant of the through line, which is the stuff that links us together as a species. The stuff that underneath the crap is so similar to all of us. And I was going to talk about this in a subsequent episode, but I guess I'll drop it now, because part of me I get a little frustrated. Like, I see these lectures at these veg fests on heart disease and this, like, the people saying the same things about food the same way. And I think, can we stop talking about this? Like, and I guess the answer is no, we can't stop talking about it. Like, the knowledge is not enough. If the knowledge were enough, we'd all be getting way healthier as a species, but we're not, which means that to me, It's we do as a species, and even me, not even me, but including me, and I'm a practitioner, but I need the reminder. I need to be reminded, and I argue that I want to teach people to learn how to remind themselves. That's where I kind of split off. I don't want anybody to need me to remind them, but I think that we all need reminders constant and maybe forever. It's not enough to say, okay, information's out there. We're good. Let's wrap this up, because that's what Sid does. He wraps it up. It's the information is out there. I'm going to keep kind of, you know, like, I give these talks and I think, you know, like, what if I do the same talk? Is that kind of basic time? I ad lib a lot, but like, basic, is that a waste? And I go, no, it's not, because first of all, there's new people there that haven't heard me. And second of all, there's people that have and are coming, maybe even heard a talk, but they need that reminder. Like, we all need a reminder to say, just keep plugging away, just keep, because the other stuff isn't stopping. The misinformation, the bad information, the you can't be pregnant and be plant-based information, that's not stopping. And if that's not stopping, then I'm not stopping. I'm just telling you. We do need these constant reminders. If we're trying to eke out a healthy life, we need the reminders. If we're not, we don't. If we're not, then we're just going to go with the advertising. And if we feel like Crunch Berries, we're going to eat them because they're fantastic. But that's the world. That's most of the world. But if you want to eke out a life that is above that, and I do look at it that way, and beyond that, then it is a constant reminder model. You have to, in a way, and that's why I said immerse yourself in your life, meaning it takes constant attention. That is just a reality, and there's no getting around it. I mean, there's no getting around it. I don't like it. I wish I could just be like, look, here's the information, you guys. Just take it and go and have fun. But it's hard for all of us, including me, right? Good, because, you know, we earn it. When we work for it, we earn it. When we work for it and we get it, we freaking earn it, and it feels really good. But I'm going to wrap this episode up by talking about what is this through line. And that is that these lectures that I see and these books that everybody reads, stacks of books about how not to get diabetes, about how not to get cancer, about how not to get Alzheimer's, about how not to have a stroke, there is something behind that lies behind all the things we don't want to have happen to us. And that is that we all want a good life. We all want happiness. That's the through line. That is the through line. That's the through line that is hidden underneath fear and overinformation and misinformation and confusion, underneath all that, and just pushed down and kept quiet. And yet it is the single most powerful aspect of us as humans, that we do want this good life, that we do want happiness. And I want you to tell anyone from now on who tries to distract you from your desire for a good life, for your desire for happiness, tell anyone who tries to keep you in the world of focusing solely on what you don't want to have happen to you, focusing solely on the things that you don't want, the things that you're afraid of, instead of all the things that you do want, to shut the hell up. I'm killed and killed, 'cause I can't find the strength to wake up. I'm dead and dead, 'cause my cares went away with you. I'm feared and feared, 'cause I walk around with no ground beneath. Dreams, they keep on rolling. Plans, they are making their way. All I can do is package them away. I'm lost, I'm lost, 'cause finding me, nothing to me. I'm drunk, I'm drunk, 'cause I can't face another day. I'm spent, I am spent, 'cause I watched you throw it all away. Dreams, they keep on rolling. The plans, they are making their way. All I can do is package them away. Away. Keep on rolling. The plans, they are making their way. All I can do is package them away. Dreams, they keep on rolling.
plans, they are making their way. All I can do is package them away.